Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for gathering us inside where it's cold outside. We ask that you warm our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's been about 23 years, and I think I had been a pastor for maybe 4 months. And there was a young man named Greg Buckner, and he was sort of hanging around on the end of the line at the end of church because he wanted to talk to me. And so when the line had finally subsided, he came up and he asked me a question. He said, "Our fire department just lost its chaplain. Would you be willing to do it?" And so without a thought, I said, "Sure." And then I said, "What does it entail?" And he said, "Oh, it's no big deal. You'll pray at the meetings, and, you know, if there's a particularly bad call, they might call you on those." Okay. Well, my wife was standing about 3 feet away from that, and she piped in, "You're not running into any burning buildings, just so you know." You're right, I'm not burning into any buildings, because that's crazy, and I would not do that. Because something you need to know about me is I am not a daredevil. Never have been. I mean, when I was in high school, I climbed up to the top of the high dive and turned around and came back down. And, like, I never speed, not intentionally anyway. Never have, not even when I was a kid, because it was just scary. And, like, I think if God had meant for people to bungee jump, he would have made us all out of rubber. And people that jump out of perfectly good airplanes, unless they're military, are just crazy. And I've never been on a motorcycle, and before you ask, no, I'm still not getting on one. So I decided to just jump right in and do this whole chaplain thing. And something you need to know about medical personnel, or emergency personnel, they talk in code. And not just when they're using their radio. They like use it as everyday speech. It's like, "Hey, how you doing?" "Well, I'm signal 50, which means I'm okay. How's your grandmother?" "She's code 44. She's dead." It's things like that. And so after a while of being around these folks, I realized that if I was going to minister to them, I needed to figure out what in the world they were saying. And the only way to do that was to go to rookie class. So I did. And I signed on, and I showed up for my first meeting, which turned out was the second meeting, because they had met the night before. But since they were all 18 and I was actually a grown-up with a real job, I had a meeting the night before. So this first night, we were going into a smokehouse. And if you don't know what that is, basically they take a house and they fill it with all kinds of smoke. I guess it's fake smoke, for you to go around it and find, well, people that are like dummies that are like in the corners and stuff. And so they put us in PPE, which is code for fire costume. And so, and I was supposed to go in the second group. But because I had missed the night before and there was a test that they needed me to take, they decided I needed to go in first. And we didn't have enough of the masks to go around and the air packs. And so they took one off of another guy in the first group and put it on me. Little did I know that he had already turned on his air. And so when I got it, I turned it off. If you've ever been in an air pack, let me tell you, it is airtight. You can't, I mean, clearly they don't want smoke coming in, and so you can't, nothing comes in, including air. And so I'm standing there, my eyes like this, because I am dying on the front yard of the training house. I mean, I would be the first guy that ever died in a fire training accident on the very first day when there was no fire involved. But I was freaking out. And so finally the guy just came and he ripped it off my head and, oh, great glorious air. Now, this should have been a warning sign to me, but it wasn't. And so they put it back on, turned the air on, it was great. And I went in and went to the smokehouse. I actually was the one that found the dummy in the corner. And I got to tell you, folks, it was amazing. I was hooked. I truly was hooked. I not only went through rookie school to find out what they were saying, I became an interior firefighter. I actually did run into those burning buildings
I mean, that's what I did. And it's absolutely crazy. And the only reason that I got sucked into all this is because I just jumped in and said, sure, whatever. Because that's what I do. I tend to leap before I look. Any of you out there like that? You know, somebody asks a question and it's like, hey, will you? Sure. Yeah, why not? Yeah, of course. Now, I don't always say yes. Sometimes I say no. But I promise you, I give just as much thought, which is absolutely zero, to it before I say give an answer. Because I sort of go by my gut. I am a risk taker. There is, however, another group of people, and maybe you fit in this category. There are risk takers and there are list makers. List makers are going to get all of the information possible. They're going to gather it up and they're going to organize it nicely in pros and cons, and they're going to measure each thing out. Now, that doesn't mean that they never take risks, because they do. But you better believe that is an absolute calculated risk, that they're pretty sure that the outcome is going to be okay. So there are risk takers and there are list makers. And let me tell you, folks, the list makers heard that gospel reading that I read and it made them cringe. Because here's the thing. Jesus walks up to these guys, Andrew and Simon, which again we know is Peter, and says, hey, follow me and I'll make you fish for people. And what does Mark say? Immediately they got up and they went. Immediately. Then he walks a little farther, comes James and John, who were hanging out with his dad and the hired hands, and he says, follow me, and they get up and they go. Immediately. No thought was given to this. And I don't know if you caught it. This is Mark chapter 1, verse 14. And if you go back to what came before, it's basically a little introduction, and then the baptism of Jesus, and then this. We've only missed 13 verses so far. In other words, they didn't know Jesus. They had never seen him. They had never heard him teach. They certainly didn't witness any miracles. They just see this random guy walk up to go and follow me. And they're like, all right, whatever. I'll be the fire chaplain. Come on, let's go. No thought whatsoever. They didn't worry about what they were getting into. They didn't worry about what they were leaving behind. And they were leaving something behind. Peter was married. I mean, dude, he was married. You know how we know? Because he had a mother-in-law. And I assure you, nobody goes out and gets a mother-in-law without having a wife, right? And so then you have James and John. It says that they left their father behind. You know they had fishing responsibilities with their dad. And they're like, yeah, whatever, let's go. And so they just pick up and they leave. No lists were made. No thought was given. They just went. Now, maybe it was because it was Jesus who was calling. I mean, you know, Jesus had this very, I mean, he's Jesus. And so he's powerful and people might have just got up and gone. But tell me, list makers, doesn't this make you feel a little bad? Like, because you know darn well that if someone came up to you just randomly and said, follow me, are you going to go immediately? Probably not. Honestly, I'm a risk taker and I don't know that I would. But what does this say about the list makers of the world? Absolutely nothing. Here's the reality. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus actually says, who among you, before he builds a tower, will not first count the cost to see if he can afford to finish it? In other words, Jesus also takes the list makers. It's not all about being a risk taker and just jumping off the boat and saying, let's go. God calls each of us. But you know what? God made us who we are. God made the risk takers, the risk takers and the list makers. God made us all to be exactly that. And we need both. Because here's the thing. If we didn't have the risk takers, we would never do anything new ever. And if we didn't have the list makers, we would go broke on day two. So God puts us all together, the risk takers and the list makers, to make ministry happen. God makes us special. He makes us as we are what we are, when we are, where we are, what we are for a reason. And every single one of us is needed. It's our mission. We share our gifts to show God's love. But if we all had the same gifts, if we were all created the same way, it wouldn't be effective. Because it would just be us. Right? And if there's more than one of us isn't necessary. Right? If we were all good at the same things, if we could only do the things the same way, then it wouldn't be done the way God needed it to be done. And so God calls all of us. He calls people like Peter and Andrew and James and John who will just get up and go. But he also called Matthew a tax collector. And he called Thomas a doubter. People who would actually stop and think before they just jumped on in. Because God knows that all types are needed in the kingdom of God. All of us are called. And so, my friends, let me encourage you. If you are a risk taker and God calls, say yes. And if you are a list maker and God calls, make your list. Make your pros and cons. Weigh it all out and say yes. Because make no mistake, either way, God is calling you. Your gifts are needed in the kingdom of God. Say yes. Amen.